Boys Guide to the Galaxy podcast. The official podcast of GalacticVoyage.com. We talk about Star Wars.
Fanboy style.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
Welcome to Fanboy's Guide to the Galaxy, episode 13. And this week we have a very special guest, and he's going to help us cover all the Comic-Con stuff. So it's Star Wars artist extraordinaire, Spencer Brinkerhoff III.
Wow, extraordinaire. I'm feeling good now.
Well, you know, you were at Comic-Con, so how was it?
You know what? I have varying opinions of how Comic-Con really goes, because on the one hand, I love being there and I get to see all of this great stuff. But on the other hand, I spend a lot of time sitting at my booth, you know, and not like going to panels or roaming around on the floor. And so, I mean, it really is a mixed bag. I do a little bit of YouTube catch up. And once I get home from the Comic-Con to see all the things that I missed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty much what I do. since I haven't been to a Comic-Con.
What was your favorite Comic-Con announcement?
What was my favorite Comic-Con announcement?
Yeah, I don't know that.
I think that probably, I don't know if it was an announcement or a rumor, but the things that I was most interested in. Well, number one, new animated Transformers, as well as new animated Looney Tunes. I think that'll be fun. But then kind of the rumor thing that I heard was Tron animated.
Really? There's going to be a Tron animated?
Like I said, that was a rumor thing. I saw an interview with Jeff Bridges, and somebody asked him if he was going to be involved in the new animated Tron. And he said he didn't know anything about it. And I looked it up a little bit after the fact and saw a few little blurbs. But, you know, I think that would be something that's pretty fun.
Yeah, I know. Bringing a new generation of Tron fans into the world.
Right. And the other thing that just, like, was, like, my biggest, like, awesome thing was seeing Boba Fett in The Force Unleashed 2.
Definitely. And then Dee Bradley Baker, of course, it's, you know, putting a little continuity into it since he's the voice of the clones of Jango Fett, so it only makes sense that he is one of the clones of Jango Fett, Boba Fett.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Well, they just talked about the beginning of the game, really, about, like, Kamino, and they talked about the Rancor killing Gorog thing in the first trailer that we saw in December 2009. And I talked about Dagobah a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And Boba.
Yeah, Boba Fett.
And there's new Force powers.
Yeah.
Force Fury, that's pretty cool. It pretty much just, like, takes all of the Force powers and, like, blows them up and, like, just makes them more extraordinary Force powers. The Force push.
Yeah, when I heard that, it reminded me of in the, like, the Jedi Academy games, where it's like the Force Rage. I mean, I thought that was pretty cool. And then Kamino, I mean, that's getting a lot of you know, there's a lot of more Kamino stuff now. I mean, Clone Wars, which is another thing that we'll get to. What are your thoughts on the new Clone Wars trailer, Spencer?
It's always going to be a mystery to see exactly what happens with Ahsoka. And so it's fun to see kind of like these little hints. But one thing I'm a little bit concerned about is the same thing with Season 2, is that we got this whole build-up that it was the rise of the bounty hunters. And it really was. But we didn't get any bounty hunters really until the last three episodes of Season 2. And so we got this teaser trailer that's really fantastic for what's going on with Ahsoka and the dreams, and kind of, I think we saw Shaak Ti in there as well, but I don't really think that we're going to see any of that stuff until close to the end of Season 3. So, you know, I'm a fan. I'm going to be watching it no matter what they do with it, you know, so it's good to see that they are dropping hints, but they don't need to convince me to watch some more.
Yeah. But another thing was the second phase armor, the episode 3 armor.
Oh, right. I'd forgotten about that. They had a, it was showed up on StarWars.com, and they had a big old poster of it at the Comic-Con as well. You know, and I don't, like I said, I spend a lot of time kind of sitting at my booth, and so to a certain degree, I feel a bit sheltered. But I don't remember them really adding any sort of emphasis to, hey, we're changing up the armor.
Yeah, I mean, if I hadn't seen it on like StarWars.com where they showed, you know, like the four pictures of those new characters, I wouldn't have noticed it.
Right. Well, the other thing is that in season one, we saw a little bit of a jumping around in the timeline where the Clone Wars movie, which takes place on Christophus, you know, there was a couple of episodes of the Clone Wars TV show that took place before that. They were prequels to the movie. And so I wonder if now that they're introducing, you know, that next phase of the armor evolution, if they're going to keep things a little bit more aligned as far as the timeline and just do a straight timeline and not do any of the not do anything where they're jumping back and forth in time, because then they're going to have to change around the armor, you know, make sure that everything's consistent in that way.
Yeah. And you also saw, I remember, I mean, it wasn't, I knew that the Phase 2 armor was coming, but I didn't know, like, when it was coming. Like, it could have been, like, Season 4, because they showed a glimpse of the Phase 2 armor in one of the episodes, Senate Spy, I think.
So, I think I totally spaced out on that.
Yeah. I mean, it was just a really quick thing. It was sort of in the background, and it was, like, for a split second, so.
I noticed that Shaak-Ti was wearing a robe in the trailer, which is pretty cool for the Clone Wars, because they used to not have enough money or something to afford to animate the robes, but Shaak-Ti was wearing a robe, so that was pretty cool. And then Cad Bane with Ahsoka's lightsaber. I'm not sure if it was Ahsoka's, but it was a green lightsaber, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm definitely interested to see Ahsoka's backstory in this. Well, not really like backstory, but, you know, more of a personal progression. I mean, she's obviously, from the trailer, it looks like she's sort of like haunted by Aurra Sing, which should be interesting. Do you think Ahsoka might die in season 3?
You know, I'm not sure. I have a bit of speculation as whether or not she ever really does die. As far as the movies go, it's really Padme's, you know, supposed death, you know, that attack on Mustafar that was the final blow that turned Anakin to the dark side. And a lot of people have speculated that Ahsoka and her potential death would be, you know, another kind of like push towards, you know, that dark side. But I wonder how it's all going to play out. Part of me says that they're not going to end her storyline until the very end of the series, but it would be interesting to have her, you know, disappear or die during the run of the series so that we can see a little bit, well, I was going to say, so we can see a little bit more of Anakin's digression into the dark side, but he wasn't, you know, dark at the beginning of episode 3. So I don't know what's going to happen to Ahsoka. I don't, as far as like marketing goes, I don't think that she'll die until the very, very end.
And then, I mean, we've seen how Anakin can get when Ahsoka is in danger. I mean, look at the episode Brain Invaders, when Ahsoka was in danger of the brain worms and stranded on that ship. You know, Anakin was willing to, you know, channel more of his dark side energies towards Poggle when he's interrogating him.
Right.
Which, I mean, what could happen if Ahsoka died? I mean, he would pretty much, you know, take that fall. So.
Yeah, I can see that. So, but I mean, as far as kind of like the business side of things, which is really kind of weird to talk about sometimes, but if you look at what the objective of the Lucasfilm licensing is, you know, they want to be able to have this character kind of run for as long as it's going to run. It's because, I mean, Ahsoka has become the hook to get new viewers in. She's the naive young Jedi that doesn't know the ways of the universe. And so the new viewers get to experience all things Star Wars through her eyes. And as that character, they wouldn't, you know, just offer, you know, because they need her around to kind of get those other people involved. So I think that she'll probably stay around through the run of the series, which I, you guys help me out here. Is it supposed to be like 5 years?
The Clone Wars lasts for 3 years, but I don't know how long the series is going to last. I talked to Matt Wood at a convention about a year ago, and he said that they were working on 100 episodes then, and they were thinking right. about making it longer. So, you know, we can only... it's going to be at least like 4 seasons, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Imagine an animated Darth Vader CG style. That'd be pretty cool to see, I think.
See, and that's one of the things that I agree with you, Eric. I think that if we had, like, some animated Vader kind of stuff in there, or you know, bringing some more of the movies in there, I love that stuff. So one of the things that I like most about The Force Unleashed, that I also like about the first season of the StarWars.com web comics, is that they actually tie directly into the current Star Wars universe. You know, so you have this other storyline that bumps right up against, you know, the original trilogy storylines. And I mean, that stuff just makes the original trilogy so much richer, and that's what I enjoy the most.
And it certainly wouldn't be impossible for them to, you know, at least have a glimpse of Darth Vader in the Clone Wars. I mean, we saw it in the Genndy Tartakovsky series, where Anakin was having the vision in the cave.
Right.
So, I mean, they can do something similar to that, and I mean, it would be awesome.
Well, and they have, for instance, the Clone Wars Adventures, that are the comic book, the digest-sized comic books.
Yeah.
There's a... those ones kind of play back and forth with the timelines. And what ended up happening is you have an episode that starts off on Tatooine with old Ben.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And then he ends up, you know, and then it ends up with Vader at the end. So, I mean, the way that they kind of, like, say this is, they're telling a complete story with that timeline.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so much that they can do with Clone Wars. I mean, since it's all the movies are complete, I think that they should introduce characters that are from the expanded universe. I know one that I would like to see is Kyle Katarn.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, because what it does is to a certain degree, a lot of these books and the other ancillary licenses, you know, that the video games. They kind of feel like they are not 100% part of the Star Wars universe. And just like Aayla Secura, as soon as she, like, walked onto set in Episode 2, suddenly she was completely validated, you know, as a real, true Star Wars character.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it would be great to see Kyle come into, you know, that into the Clone Wars and just have like an offshoot story, so suddenly it's like, oh, he's part of this universe too.
Yeah, I mean, even if he is a kid, I mean, it'd just be awesome if they took the Clone Wars, if the Clone Wars progressed to his home world, which is, I think it's Sulan, I think.
I mean, because
yeah, I think it was. But I mean, those the Dark Forces stories were just so incredible, and I just think that. That needs to be somewhat official.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about a bit about the Old Republic. Spencer, have you been like following the Old Republic news at all?
I've been watching the trailers. I'm personally, I don't have the time to invest in a massively multiplayer online game environment. I love the idea. I think it's really, really cool, but I just don't see myself, you know, having the time to, because when The Force Unleashed comes out, I'm going to spend hours and hours and hours conquering that game, and that one has like a definite storyline to it, you know. So with the Old Republic, it's like, oh man, there's no end to that game, and it's just hours and hours and hours sucking my life away.
Yeah, I completely understand. I'm probably not going to be playing it. I might play for like the first month, but I cannot pay for a game every single month, and you know, I mean, but the stuff that comes out of the game, I mean, there's novels coming out, those awesome trailers, there's a webcomic. I mean, it's just the universe is so vast and it's so awesome that, I mean, there's elements that I can participate in.
Right, I think that part is fun.
What's that?
I'm going to try to beat all the stories in the game when it comes out, but that's probably, after I beat the stories, I'm probably just going to be done with it, because that's really all I'm interested in.
Like, they just released a new book, Fatal Alliance, and I think that's more the path that I'm going down as far as being a part of the Old Republic universe. I mean, because I love the first and second games of Knights of the Old Republic. I mean, I thought that they were great, and you could actually finish them.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But what I think is cool about the Old Republic is that you can, like, do these world missions, like, with other people. I mean, I wish that the first, they can make, like, a third Knights of the Old Republic where it's not like it's massively online multiplayer, it's more like you can just play with your friends, like it's a controlled environment, and, like a co-op sort of thing.
Right. You know, and that's the other thing, is that the way that we experience games, the way that we experience our media, and the way that we are involved in all of this type of storytelling is really evolving. You know, I saw a trailer for a horror movie, and as you go into the movie theater, everybody like gives their cell phone number, you know, to the ticket taker, and during the movie, somebody in the theater's cell phone will ring, and it's the person on screen calling you, and then you help guide them through the movie. So, I mean, as you're saying, you know, the guy stops on the film and says, should I go up the stairs or down? And you're talking on the phone and you say, go down the stairs. And then the movie, like, changes and the person goes down the stairs. So the idea of the way that we are involved in our media is changing quite a bit. And so I don't see it as any stretch of the imagination to think that instead of just a massive, you know, multiplayer online event, we can have like a LAN party, you know, that we can just sit and hook up, you know, and just go out and do missions. I think that, you know, Halo's done that quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And I mean, as far as like the time era, I don't think that, I'm pretty sure that this isn't around the original game. So I'm concerned, like one of the things when I heard about this is like, Knights of the Old Republic 3 was in production, but then it was scrapped for the Old Republic. And then I'm concerned about what happened to Revan and what happened to the Jedi Exile. I mean, it is one series, and I think that they at least need to close that, because they kind of left it at a cliffhanger. I mean, Revan and the Jedi Exile both went out to unknown space, and we don't know what happened to them. So.
Well, and that's something else, is they might just leave that hanging for the next project. You know, that could be a comic book project, a novel, it could be anything. I mean, they experimented with the Shadows of the Empire, and we started getting action figures for a, you know, comic book. That was the first time that kind of thing ever happened.
Yeah, I love Shadows of the Empire. It's one of my favorite novels, as well as toys and stuff. I remember some of my first action figures were from Shadows of the Empire.
Right.
It was also in a Nintendo 64 video game.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was.
At Paw, though. The first level.
Some of the other things on Old Republics, you're going to get your own ship. And I think that's, I mean, I think it's going to be more in the tradition of the Ebon Hawk in the original games, which is pretty cool.
Right. Well, the idea that, you know, I don't know what the process is to get your ship, but the idea that you've got to earn credits and you can, you know, establish this whole lifestyle. I mean, that right there just says time.
Yeah.
It's going to take a long time to pay off that ship.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but you can, like, customize your ship, I guess. I mean, there's different kinds of ships that you can get. And, it's going to take a lot of time, especially since, you know, I have to go to school and stuff. I mean, the summertime is, pretty much nothing's happening, so I think that's probably what I'm going to be doing most of the summer.
Now, when is this game set to be released again?
Its target date is the spring of 2011. And since now they're having all the beta testing, I think that it's just about done.
We have the Family Guy Return of the Jedi spoof. They played a 10-minute clip at Comic-Con, but I don't think it was released yet on the internet, which is weird.
We still haven't got it yet.
Did you by any chance see this, Spencer?
No, I didn't get to see that one. I watched the first Family Guy spoof, and that one was a little bit, it was borderline for me. I was like, oh, that's funny. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm disturbed by that. You know, it went really back and forth, and so when the second one came out, I've never even seen it.
For good reason. I saw it, and it was terrible. I mean, if you were on borderline for the first one, the second one, I mean, they actually, you know, they dropped the F-bomb, like, twice. I mean...
Yeah. Well, see, and here's the thing, is I have a fine arts and animation background, and there's a problem with animation being categorized as a children's medium. Now, even though it's not a genre, animation is not a genre. It is just a technique for storytelling. It's still, you know, mainly in America, it's still kind of perceived as a family-friendly child type of a way to make a storyline. So. I know that that's not true, but I just don't want to hear that, you know, they're swearing and they're having, you know, these different, you know, innuendos, you know, through an animated show. It just doesn't sit well with me.
And especially for a Star Wars animated show.
Right.
I mean, yeah, that's all I have to say on that one.
Here's something I got.
Empire Strikes Back was the visuals. The visuals are really good, though. Like on Hoth, I thought they did a really good job animating that. But, yeah, I know what you mean.
What were you going to say, Spencer?
I was going to say that, kind of back to the other Comic-Con kind of idea, is I borrowed a phone from a friend of mine. It's the Nexus One, so it's a Google phone. I went ahead and upgraded it with a data plan on my cell phone service. And as I was getting into the convention, I was experimenting and I was trying to do some behind-the-scenes live streaming video from the convention. You know, I even got to do an interview with Dan Wallace, who is the author of the book, The Jedi Path. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know how many people really even got to see those videos or how successful they were, but that's something I'm going to be trying to do again out at Celebration 5.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I saw the Dan Wallace one.
Oh, you saw that one?
Yeah. Cool. So, and those are on your website, right?
Yeah, it's a link from my website onto the quick.com. That's QIK.com. And just because I wanted to make it automatic. So the thing that's great about using Quick is that I can shoot the video and it streams live to quick.com, and then it'll take and upload it to YouTube, and it creates a link to my Facebook page. Then what I did is I'm using WordPress, and I found a plugin that will take the RSS feed from Quick and create an automatic WordPress blog post with the video link in it. I'd like that to be embedded into my website, but I mean, right now it's just a link back out to Quick.
We use WordPress too for this show. I mean, we take it from our site, Galactic Voyage. Well, not our site, but you know, the site that's hosting the podcast. And then we take the link to WordPress, and then since that has an RSS feed, we link it right to iTunes, and that's how it gets on iTunes.
It makes life so much easier.
Yeah. But. So you're going to be at C5, and you have an exclusive print, right?
Oh, I am, yes.
Yes.
Yes and yes.
So tell us about your exclusive print for Celebration 5.
Well, I kind of happened upon this almost by accident. In 2008, I was invited to go out to the Star Wars celebration in Japan, and that was the first officially licensed Lucasfilm print that I'd ever done. It was the 30th anniversary of the movie's opening in Japan, and so I ended up doing the scene from the cantina where Han has just shot Greedo, and the title of the print is "Sorry About the Mess." So the following year in 2009, I decided I wanted to do another print, and really, you know, the only way to get that done was to go through Acme Archives. So I worked really hard with them, and I had decided that I would do another kind of like, you know, I did the New Hope, so it was time to do an Empire print, and so I did another Han Solo quote, and it's the carbon freeze chamber, and the quote is, "I know."
Yeah.
So to finish everything off, I thought, okay, third print, 3 years, original trilogy, it's got to be another Han Solo quote, and you just can't go wrong with Princess Leia dressed up in that golden bikini. So yeah, I decided to do Jabba's Palace, and the line that I chose was, "That bad, huh?" And it's almost, that line is almost glossed over. It's almost forgotten in that scene because, you know, it just goes by so quick. Han and Luke are being presented to Jabba, and they're saying, "Oh, together again." And Han says, how are we doing? And Luke says, "Well, same as always," to which he replies, "That bad, huh?" Uh-huh. So it's 12 inches by 24 inches, so that in addition to the titling and the kind of like style going through the original trilogy, it also matches up for the size of the prints as well. And then it's going to be $50, and I will be at exhibitor booth 337 outside of the artist alley tables.
Nice. Okay, so if you're definitely at, if you're at C5, definitely go to Spencer's table and get that print. and then in addition to like the prints that you draw, you also do the flash animation for these sort of like an advertisement.
Right, right. I've been doing flash animation and illustration work for a little over 10 years. Spent most of my time working with Cisco Systems doing like the online training courses so that you can be a Cisco certified networking administrator. And there's not a lot of excitement in that job, but I ended up with a steady paycheck and a lot of good experience. And so I know most of my computer drawing skills because of Flash. As I put everything together, you know, it's already there in Flash, ready to be animated. So I just go ahead and, you know, put the things together. And what I've been doing lately is I've been exporting the pieces into separate layers and then bringing those layers into After Effects and creating a virtual camera to give you a feeling of dimensionality to the print in the same way that I do with my shadow boxes.
Mm-hmm. Which those shadow boxes are awesome.
Thank you.
Yes, I saw the one of the Indiana Jones ones that you did.
I had WonderCon, right?
Yeah, it was. I think it was one with Tote, and he's got his hand up.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I actually had somebody come up to me at WonderCon and ask me if that was Obama. I said no.
I really liked your boss. Painting that you have on Facebook.
Oh yes, that one was officially declined for licensing by Lucasfilm. And Ryan, I don't know if you remember what that one is, but you know, as soon as they announced Celebration 5, and it was always Celebration and then the capital V, I just couldn't get, you know, the whole idea of the 80s TV show and its remake, you know, of V out of my head.
Oh yeah, I completely understand. I have that show on DVD, and then you could pretty much, you know, Bosk. He pretty much looks like one of the V's.
That one did not get approved. But what I've ended up doing is I have a small kind of digest sized sketchbook that I put together at the end of of each year of my kind of like convention experiences. So at the end of the 2009 sketchbook, I have, you know, that a full page. So it's like a mini, you know, like 5x7, a mini poster of Bosque. So while it's not officially licensed, you can always pick up the sketchbook and just cut that out of the back and make your own mini print out of it.
Awesome. And where can people get these sketchbooks?
I've got my sketchbooks and the shadow boxes, as well as sketch cards and other commissions, are up on my website. I've been working a little bit to make an online store to make things work a little bit easier. So it's Studios B3, and that's with a studio with an SB3.com/store, and you can just check out all of my new stuff up there. I just finished 6 new shadow boxes for the Clone Wars Season 1 sketch card set.
Yeah, I saw those. Those were pretty cool.
Thank you. Yeah. And soon, and it won't be in the store, but soon on my site I will have some video of behind the scenes on the creation of my new TK project, as well as an interactive rotating helmet so that you can look all the way around it and get it.
Yeah, like a full view. Well, that's pretty cool.
So Celebration 5, what are you looking forward to most when you go there?
I saw somebody post the other day that there's going to be a TIE fighter there. So at Celebration Japan, because we were exhibitors, you know, as part of the art show, we're able to get into the show before anybody else was. And that gives us the opportunity to really kind of cruise the floor. They had a full-size speeder bike there, as well as a snow speeder, Jabba the Hutt, and the Vader project was all there. So, I mean, I got to see all of that stuff before anybody else was even in the room. And so that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to being at, you know, Celebration 5, is to get out there. And I have kind of like a press pass, you know, that first access to look around and see everything.
Awesome. So Celebration 5, what's your booth number again?
I believe it's 337. I'm just across from the Jedi stage, and I'm by the Kennedy Space Center, as well as what else is there? NASA, Scholastic. I'm right around the corner from Matt Bush, The Art of Ralph McQuarrie, Suneo Sanda, and Tom Hodges. We're all there in the same spot.
All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap us up for this week. We really appreciate you coming on and talking to us, Spencer.
Well, you betcha.
And hopefully we'll be able to have you on again. We're probably going to have some Clone Wars discussions when the season debuts.
Yeah, that'd be great. And I'll be shooting some more video from the show.
All right,
cool. Definitely check that out.
All right, well, we'll see you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox, and intended for informational and entertainment purposes only. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and character, or any other Star Wars-related items are the registered trademarks of Lucasfilm or their respective trademark or copyright holders.